doing, Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 18th of May, 2020. With me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 234, live on Ramble FM, the show's new Monday night home. I hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. The keener-eyed of you, or keener-eared of you, perhaps, noticing that I was about 20 seconds late in starting. I've got to wait for the live cast to upload. I was testing various things. I'm a little concerned about the sound. There's so many tests. The desk is absolutely cluttered. I've got two lights on. You know, at the end of the day, all this has to be paid for. All this electricity I'm using has to be paid for. But, you know, we'll worry about that at some point down the line. Now, the way this works, I think, at the moment, I have to ask you guys to join the live stream at 10 p.m. UK time. Ideally, you want to be clicking on the link that I put out to Ramble FM. You want to be clicking on the link to start listening to the show just before 10 p.m. UK time. And if you do, I suspect that even though it's meant to be dead air, that you will be hearing a lot of prep my end. You'll be like one of those radio hams. And this is quite a creepy thing, or an unsettling thing anyway. I've heard of this on a few unexplained shows that I've listened to. The Russian cosmonauts, or the old Soviet cosmonauts, I think in the 50s, the test pilots, radio hams would tune in occasionally, apparently picked up some astronauts who were lost in space, or, you know, on the edge of space, never to return again to this world. How creepy is that? Feel free to tweet live on the show, well, live while I'm on the show, just so I know that people are actually listening. I've been a bit up and down since I was last with you. I guess that's to be expected in these curious times. I'm finding that my muttering is starting to spill out to the streets, which is a concern. I need to address this. You get people who are worried that maybe they're going to be one of those old guys or old women that are found dead in a house full of cats. My concern is I'm going to be closing out my days muttering. I've even got different accented muttering for each room. I find that when I'm in the front room, when I'm here, where I'm recording this show, I think it can be a Yorkshire accent. I go into the kitchen to get that microwave on, to get my dinner in the evenings, if I'm feeling a bit ambitious with my cooking, you know, rather than a bowl of porridge, which I'm addicted to. I think in the kitchen, it tends to be Glaswegian. What's happening when I'm going into the bedroom is I think I'm going a bit Brooklyn and reenacting some of the scenes of the first year of NYPD Blue with David Caruso, which during 94 and 95, I was convinced I was a part of that show. Nobody would have convinced me otherwise. So I'm worried about that spilling out onto the street. Now, at the moment, the muttering is occurring on the street at times. Funnily enough, it doesn't occur when I'm running, but it's certainly occurring when I'm walking somewhere or walking to the shops. But it's my own accent. It's my own voice. So that's not too bad. My concern is that the accents start emerging on the street as well. That's something that I need to watch out for. Assuming there is a post-COVID-19 world, I don't want to be going into that new world. Assuming that I survive as one of those loners talking to themselves, because I do think that would be a bit tragic. Pre-COVID-19, sure, I was a loner, but I wasn't a street mutterer. This is something that I need to nip in the bud. Anyway, coming up tonight, normality or normalcy? It's the same thing, but which one are you? My first social distancing exchange with a neighbor is overwhelmed by Ted Baker. Past life regressions, I'll be talking a bit about that. I'm looking at the impact of COVID-19 on my writing. The Little Brixton Pistons, the most confrontational shop staff in South London. I'll be talking about them. And of course, I'll have my latest Nectar Points update. Phil Thee, hello. Hello to Phil Thee, one-time collaborator on my advent calendar. they're listening live. It seems I finally managed to make this work, says Filthy. That makes at least one live listener. That is progress. Long day at 19.09 hours tonight. If I can go back to my favorite 24-hour clock, I was struggling to eat some, conchigli? Here's me, Mediterranean. I'm struggling to pronounce this Italian word, conchiglie, pasta, the shell pasta. I'm eating it with a fork. I'm at the table, the same table where I'm recording now. And I thought, screw that, I'm living on my own. There's no one to impress here. I got up, just got a spoon, came back, sat down. And I thought, if this ever changes, if there's ever a future with someone else, then I can just worry about the cutlery in relation to the pasta meal. I can worry about that at some point in the future. A lot needs to happen before I get to that stage. So let's move on with episode 234. Last Friday, no, it was actually Thursday, was the first encounter. There were two. The first encounter on Thursday was my first encounter with anybody in the communal hallway on the stairs. That happened on the stairs, rather. Poor social distancing, I thought, on the girl's part. She'd come out of one of the flats. I don't think I'd ever met her. And she was on her phone. And normally when people hear you coming down, particularly during this time, and, you know, if you're living in a block of flats, people from one flat, if they hear someone coming out, they'll just close the door, wait till that person's gone out so there's no awkwardness in the communal hallway. She was on her phone. She came out and I had my mask on and I just said to her, hello. I thought it was the polite thing to do. Much to my alarm, she started tailgating me down the stairs after saying hello back. And one, there was the social distancing thing. That was a problem. I'm really sweating here. I've had three coffees in the last 30 minutes to try and psych myself up for this show. So she was tailgating me on the stairs. That's the first thing he said, getting all shouty. And then, of course, she would have been close up enough to have a really good look at the mullet. And I'm thinking, at least at this stage, I've got a face mask on, so she can't place my face. You know, she can't put my face to that hair. So in that respect, I was glad to be wearing the face mask. I don't know about you, if you're wearing the face mask thing, if you're going through the formality of doing that, are you wearing it as you leave your flat, your house, or do you just put it on once you're out in the street? So that was poor social distancing on her part. On the Friday, second encounter, that was with the neighbor right on the ground floor. She's got a big garden. She's also isolating alone. She had a lockdown hair. And I was heading to Tesco on Friday morning to grab my next door neighbor's OK magazine. I've come out of the shower. I couldn't find my regular low-key Sainsbury's deodorant. So I blasted myself, not too much, but it's a strong scent. I blasted myself with some Ted Baker, which is a nice scent, but it's too flamboyant for me. It's even the milder Ted Bakers, they are strong. And it's sod's law that for the first time in months in using Ted Baker, suddenly I found myself engaged in social distancing dialogue with someone who'd have been able to smell the Ted Baker. Even though we were outdoors, we're outside the front door, she'd have been able to smell it. She must have thought, he's overdone that. So that was not a great moment for me. I don't think you overdo Ted Baker. Ted Baker is Ted Baker. It's a scent. Mostly, most of their ranges are really nice. It's a nice smell, but it turns heads, or it will certainly prompt someone to ask you, oh, well, that's a nice smell. What are you wearing? And it's something that I'm uncomfortable with. I need a low-key smell. On Thursday night, I'd seen the same neighbor in her garden as I was closing my window. And I think I said last week, she's very good when she hears window audio. She doesn't look up. She knows someone's opening the window, but she knows who lives in the block. She doesn't need to look up and have that awkward moment. So I saw her in her garden looking gloomy. She looked deep in thought, like she was having a difficult moment. And it was an image that will stay with me, I think. When we met up, she led on the social distancing that morning. She stepped out onto the front lawn, having opened the front door in gloves. So she stepped out on the front lawn. I don't think I could have done that. I did that once accidentally when I first moved into this property. And the guy who lives on the other flat, in the other flat on the other side of the block in this building, that front lawn is his responsibility, and he started banging on the window telling me to get off the lawn. So I wouldn't have had the I wouldn't have led on the lawn, the front lawn stand. So she took over, she led on that. So I stayed under the I stayed on the front porch, and she was wearing gloves. I mean, she was really well prepared. She didn't have a mask. And I think if there was any encroachment, it might have come from me, though I tried to justify it to myself by telling myself, look, the social distancing in Germany is 1.5 meters. These guys tend to be taller than Brits. Why are we doing 2 meters over here? I said to her that it was my first proper encounter with any neighbor in 2 months. And that was the truth. I wasn't counting the one from the day before where I got tailgated. She said that she'd had a few. She wasn't going to go out with a mask. I don't think she was too convinced by masks. I had the, what did I have? I had the Pets Woo running club buffer around my neck to pull up once I got to the shops. And I'm pleased that I got that social distancing neighbor exchange out of the way. That was important to me. And it was important to me to be able to talk to someone, however briefly, other than the news agents. Anyway, look, I know that I've got one live listener right now, Phil D. Let's have a call and response. Let me know you're out there on the Twitter at 1607 West Egg. That would be helpful. As a kid, I always wanted to do radio. Radio and the writing, my two biggest passions, and perhaps the kiwi fruit might have been another passion of mine, but the UK kiwi fruit is very underwhelming, whereas the Spanish ones, which are about 2 or 3 times the size, they're called jumbos. They are delicious, and I think that if I'd lived in Spain, that might have been my third passion, the jumbo. So radio and writing, those were the two big passions. I did several radio courses in my younger years. And I remember they would always tell you when you were doing a show that you were to refer to your listeners in the singular, as in my listener this, my listener that. If you're interviewing someone, you say, well, if you could explain to my listener this and that, that holds little truck with me. I find it annoying, to tell the truth. And I think I might have done it in the past at some point on some show long ago. The old school presenters tend to use it, you know. They say, my listener. And I think the idea behind that is to personalize the experience for the listener, when the reality is they'll have tens of thousands of listeners. Right now, as I try to get this new live version of Available Off the Ground on Ramble FM here, if I started to refer to my listener this, my listener that, there's every chance it would actually be true with this show. You've got to have huge self-belief when your creative work hits one disgraceful low after another. And I have to say, I don't know how I do it. Maybe I'm on the autism spectrum. I don't know. Sometimes I think, well, can all these people be wrong about my work and I'm the one that's right? I just, I'll keep going. I'm happy to keep going. It's what I do. It's the only thing really that I can do and know how to do. I just know that I wouldn't want to do all of this again. And I listened to a show last night in which a guest was talking about past life regression. And he mentioned some people have previously come to him and through this hypnosis that he does, it's turned out that they've previously been animals. If you believe that, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying if you believe that, that's what these people are saying. And I think there's the voice going. I think that reincarnation is unsettling enough as it is. without the idea. And it's something that I've often thought about. Might you come back as an animal? I mean, that would be worse than this. I would not be up for that, I can assure you. If there's reincarnation, I want to be born into some rich Belgravia family. Now, I had experience of going to those big old Belgravia homes as a kid, but that was because my mum was a cleaner, as all the Spanish women in South London tended to be. This time, I want to be the person that lives there. You know, I want to be clueless about what's going on in the world, how people are struggling. I'm going to Waitrose every week with my family. I'm growing up. I'm eating game, going to boarding school, getting smacked about in the dormitories and so on and so forth. But, you know, I've got a good job waiting for me. And, you know, within a day of opening up a LinkedIn account, I'm going to have about 400 connections on there. I'm going to get internships easily without any problem. Come my mid-20s, I'm going to have my own TV show, not because I'm a good writer, but because I've got the connections. I wouldn't mind some of that, you know, if there's another life. And, I mean, that would be better, surely, than coming back as an animal. And there was this woman, apparently, who had told this guy that she'd previously been a camel. And worse still, he said one past life regression had seen one client claim they'd been a rock in a previous life. That is really frightening. That is really frightening. The presenter said, well, how can you be a rock? And this guest who'd been a Buddhist in their younger days said, well, I think he said, Buddhists believe that everything has a soul. But the whole idea of reincarnation is a worry. But if it is a thing, I've got to come back to an easier life than this. Chaos Steve Frost, hello. Locked in, they've tweeted. I think they've changed their Twitter handle, but I recognize their, do we still say avatar? Am I showing my age here? I don't know. But thank you. Two listeners now. This is certainly justifying my spending my evening here talking and sweating. Next week I'll have just a couple of coffees rather than three. Went out for a run today, I think, on 7 coffees. That is my personal best. I think it would be unwise to go for an 8. I'm not sure it can be done. It would be like breaking the 4-minute mile barrier. I think it's going to be someone else that has to come in and do that after me. Coming up to, what is it? It's about, got my glasses on, 18 minutes past 10 here. Join the show. Listen in if you've joined the stream. An issue that's really taxing me the last few days is the Facebook group page. And for some reason, I can access the page on my phone now, but I can't access it on the laptop. I've got no option to click the various support links, which in themselves are difficult anyway with Facebook. They tweeted me back once, giving me a link. It didn't work. I can't do anything on the laptop. It means that I can't even close the group page down if I wanted to. I just can't do anything with it. It's frustrating because I use it to promote the work. I'm not great at using my phone to do that stuff. I don't want to be getting all fidgety on the phone, scheduling posts on Facebook. They've not responded rather predictably to my various tweets the last few days trying to sort this out. If you are someone who knows how to fix group page issues, and it's not a personal page because I don't have a personal Facebook page, it is a group page set up for my work for this podcast. Please get in touch if you think you might be able to fix it, or even if you try, and I'll send you the week's Patreon episode when it comes out on Thursday. I'll email that to you via WeTransfer as a thank you for at least trying. So it's just a bit of a headache. So I've not even been able to publicize tonight's show on Facebook too much. I mean, they're a nightmare. I'd say I've had experiences with various TV phone companies over the years. 2018, a really bad experience with Virgin Media. And I saw someone else on my Twitter earlier this month, I think, was having a similar problem. And then you've got companies like BT, which deservedly get stick, but Virgin Media were, I mean, I'd never dealt with customer services as bad as that. But you can't get anything worse than having a problem on Facebook and trying to get them to sort it out. It is just a nightmare. And I remember Christmas 2017, I actually got hacked. The account was hacked that time. That's not happened on this occasion. And it's not a... it's not a password issue or anything. It is simply, I just can't do anything on the Facebook page now. And that is a problem. Working from a printout with my writing, still doing that variation on the time boxing thing. I haven't gone full time boxing, but it's helping me. And I'm working from a printout at the moment on the latest draft of the script. Tomorrow, Tuesday, that's probably the best opportunity of the week for me writing wise at the moment, to just devote a full day to the script. So, and I'm looking forward to that. And after this show, it's a bit like the Resonance days, but without the journey back on the bus or the two buses back. You know, I've got so much coffee in the system. I'm about 13 or 14 coffees into the day. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to, you know, upload the show to the Patreon page for any Patreon listeners who have missed the show, who can catch up with it before it goes out to everybody else on Thursday. I'm going to watch Newsnight. I'm going to watch the final two episodes of Last Dance. I'm like a kid at the moment. This lockdown just feels so strange, and getting through it here on my own, trying to maintain that discipline, trying to make sure I'm up early. And because I can't sleep, I don't even need to set up my alarm. I'm just up really early. Voice going again there. And guess who forgot to get some water before they started the show? Of all the things that I forgot, I had a list of things I needed to do. And just looking at that list now, water is not on there. Anyway, lesson learned. So working from a printout gives my eyes a rest, feels more leisurely. I can switch off. I can focus. I had a 5-day migraine last week, which I reckon is down to needing better glasses. I don't think it's down to the migraine issues that dogged me for 4 years up until 2018, until I finally was put on the right pills to sort those out. And for me, when I'm writing right now, you know, trying to rebuild the writing into my everyday life, trying to come back from this writer's block. It's interesting right now. And if you're a writer, you might recognize this. Or maybe if you're, I don't know, if you're something else. I'm not sure if it could be applied to, say, if you were an artist, a painter, etc. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know enough about that. But certainly as a writer, I'm already noting the differences, or I'm noting how this pandemic is making me feel about my writing, my work. It's not so much in relation to anything that I'm watching, because I'm not watching much. And when I do, I try to find a good documentary rather than scripted drama. I just find that right now, for some time, I engage better with documentaries, a good documentary. And with my script right now, pretty much every scene I'm writing, or rewriting, as the case may be with this script, I'm thinking, well, in this COVID-19 era, you can't do that now. And I'm thinking that with pretty much every scene. And I think a similar thing happened with the advent of mobiles 20 years ago, more gradual, as that technology was, I suppose, slow in terms of getting us to the smartphone, circa BlackBerry, mid to late noughties. And I remember the Space Daddy, my filmmaker friend, he was telling me this one time, he was telling me about the rise of mobile phones, that cell phones, cells, cellulars, whatever, for American listeners. Did I really need to give that distinction for American listeners? Anyway, he was telling me about the rise of mobile phones and how they had a massive impact on horror stroke slasher films. Suddenly characters were likely to have mobile phones on them, and which meant there was a chance to call for help far earlier. So this forced horror writers to rethink things. They had to get especially creative. Now, with this particular script, I thought the issue with it would be relating simply to the gentrification it deals with, which in itself is a big deal, because so many of the places that I had written about just a couple of years ago that were in development are now completed. And then there are other older buildings which appear in some of the scenes. They've now been demolished. So that was my concern going into this script. It was always a sort of time-sensitive script. And now, overriding all of that is that simple scenes that simply involve having characters meeting and shaking hands, that doesn't work. Now, of course, television is going to have to find a way to deal with this. I'm not sure how film will deal with it, but certainly TV, being more current, it's going to have to find a way to deal with this problem. And it's likely that we'll gradually maybe get, hopefully get back to some kind of normality. I mean, I caught a glimpse of the news tonight. And again, as usual right now, it was a bit grim. So that normality may be some time away, or is likely to be some time away. Let's not kid ourselves. Or rather than normality, as the more pretentious are saying right now, normalcy. I think people have started using that. Now, it's not an incorrect term, but for me, pick one or the other. We don't need both. And normality, my understanding is normality is centuries older. And on that basis, I say maybe we should stick with that. Maybe you want to tell me whether you're a normality or normalcy guy. Hashtag normality, normalcy. Get in touch on Twitter at 1607 West Egg. Let's see if you're someone who's taken up the normalcy term. So I would imagine that a year from now, people may be able to meet up for a coffee. Okay, so they'll be able to do the coffee, but the handshake won't be back. COVID-19, I don't think it even allowed the handshake to be on life support. I don't think it allowed the handshake to say goodbye to its loved ones. It's just buried the handshake right away. Now, let me just go back to the normality, the normalcy thing. Can you think of maybe two other words that mean the same thing? And of course, there are loads of words that mean the same thing, but two words that mean the same thing, but which lately has seen people opt for the newer, more fashionable version. They might have heard, I don't know, some scientist on Newsnight using it. They think, oh, I'll go with that, actually. I prefer that. That sounds better. Makes me sound cleverer. So maybe get in touch ahead of next week's show. DRT available at westegg1607.co.uk. Give you some time to think about that one. This could be a feature, or if it's one of the usual available features that bomb on this show, we can simply forget about it, and I won't mention it again if you don't. So 1607 West Egg on the Twitter, hashtag, what did I say, normality, normalcy, or we could go for a hashtag that normalcy thing, I don't know. Tweet your examples or, email the show, and I'll go through them either tonight, if I get them tonight, or on next week's live show. The time is 28 minutes past 10. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available, episode 234, live on Ramble FM. Sweating the small stuff every Monday, live at 10 p.m. UK time. Sweating, really sweating, sitting in a very defensive manner right now. I've got my arms folded. I don't know why. I'm at home. Why am I feeling so defensive? You can follow the show on Twitter, which I've given out. Instagram is the same handle, 1607 West Egg. Well, I was going to give out the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/DRT is available, but the posting on there is limited. Meantime, any thoughts on the live show? And really, what would be more useful right now is the technical side of things. Any feedback on the technical side of things? Feedback to me, and I can forward that on to Ramble as they look to make improvements, useful for them, useful for me. It is a beta site at the moment, and things hopefully will be evolving as weeks go by. I know that in the pipeline at the moment. There's a standby, they're talking about a standby and live button that will allow myself to choose the precise moment I go live and start recording to reduce dead air. So hopefully I won't be 20 seconds late again. And an invite function, they're proposing an invite function that will let a presenter send a link to a friend or guest to invite them directly into what they call the call room with me and bypass the call board. Most of which means very little to me, may mean more to you if you're technically minded. Meanwhile, find my work at danielruiztyson.com. I've given out the email as well. And if you want to join the Patreon supporters, it's patreon.com/DRT. Available more details on that towards the end of the show. Do please, if you can, and if you do enjoy the show, do leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you have an account. Now, of course, people get tired of hearing the same message every week, but if the big shows plead for these on a weekly basis, as I said last week, and they do because I listen to enough shows. Well, I try to listen to a lot of indie shows to support them. I do, for instance, listen to Dan Snow's History Hits. That's a plug I didn't really want to give. If there is something that's of interest to me, like he's done a few episodes on the pandemics, the flu pandemic, etc. recently, and he will... shamelessly is the wrong word. I don't think it's something to be embarrassed about. You know, people are getting a show. It needs support. And that's a big show with tens of thousands of subscribers. And they're asking for reviews. So this show needs reviews. It's had one, I think, in 2 years. Obviously, there was a 22-month absence, I think, for the during that last 2.5-year period. But I'd like the show to grow. You know, and I'd like to be getting people to engage with this live show on Monday nights. Moving on, I think I might have touched on how difficult I'm finding Friday shopping right now, not using any buses. I don't know how many different things have to happen for me to ever consider to get on another bus right now. All I can think of, actually, and I'll go into that on Thursday's Patreon show, might be I have to, when the dentist finally reopens, my dentist is in West London, so I certainly have to get a bus for that, but otherwise I can't see a time when I'm going to get a bus. And so the Friday shopping getting very difficult. It's, I think, one of the few times in my life when I've almost wished that I could drive. I'm not a guy that's interested in cars. I never have been, even when I was a kid. You know, I had lots of friends. Tended to be the non-creative friends who were really into cars, and the creative ones, we didn't really give it a consideration. It wasn't a big thing for us. And of the few friends that I have left, the creative ones still, interestingly, don't drive. So, and we stayed in London, and you don't really need a car in London, but I do wish almost that I could drive just for these Friday shopping trips. And the little Brixton branch especially is causing me some grief. It continues to show itself to be the Detroit Pistons of the German budget supermarket world. Now, if you're watching The Last Dance on Netflix, you'll get that reference. The Detroit Pistons were a hard-as-nails NBA basketball team that for a while was able to keep Michael Jordan's fast-emerging Chicago Bulls in their place whilst employing some of the darker arts of basketball. And basically, you know, the Chicago Bulls, I think they came a cropper against them a couple of times, and they knew that they had to up their game. They had to go to the next level if they were ever going to win the NBA. And I suppose you would call that style of basketball the NBA equivalent maybe of Catenaccio, the Italian style of football that was a blot on the late 60s, early 70s European football landscapes, a really ugly form of basketball. The Brixton staff manning the self-checkout queue in Lidl, that's where the problem is. And I think that's where they put their aggressive guys. They give no quarter when arguing with customers, and they instigate at least half of the arguments with customers. Now, I'm not someone that thinks the customer is always right. There are plenty of customers that are idiots, but I've seen enough in there to know that the little Brixton Pistons do cross the line. I mentioned a few shows back, you know, I'd had my first face mask row in that store, only one to date as well, I think, with one of their masked staff. And they irritated me so much that even though I was in the wrong, I actually stuck at the argument. Ideally, next time, I'd like to know that I'm right before going on with the argument. But I just found the guy so rude. I thought, well, I'm going to see this through to the end. And they are just incredibly rude. And it's the kind of store where you have to stick up for yourself in there. Now, on Friday, one of the little Pistons, this time completely in the wrong, had a back and forth with a pensioner who pulled them up on not doing their job properly. Now, I know that this is a really tough time for people working in supermarkets because the social distancing in these places is near impossible. But it's interesting that you got some of the staff wearing PPE stuff, the proper stuff, the plastic visors, and you got other staff who are not wearing anything. And this particular guy on the self-checkout, he wasn't wearing anything. I thought, you know, it's not that I think I might get something off you, but you're dealing with so many hundreds of customers a day. Surely you want to do something or feel like you're doing something to maybe protect yourself. And the newly erected social distancing screens mean that it's not that easy to see which tills are free. And this particular Brixton Piston, it was the customer's responsibility to keep an eye on which tills were free. But as I say, it's not always possible with the screens right now. And I hadn't seen this particular Piston before. He was new to me. But in keeping with his colleagues, stroke teammates, he's as confrontational as the rest of them. And he was arguing with this pensioner who stuck up for himself and saying, do your job. You know, the pensioner, it was a blind spot. The pensioner couldn't see that the till at the end was free. And I think he was justified in telling this guy that he should be doing his job. So he stuck at it. The piston, he went over to another till. He collected some baskets. He walked back and he gave it back to the pensioner. You know, they were just mouthing off at each other. And I think partly in this particular instance, it was a bit of fear on this Piston's part because it is a scary situation. And I don't think this guy was as confident about the social distancing and how safe he might be in his job as some of the other Pistons seem to be. So he was reluctant to do too much there. So I kind of understood it from that point of view. The Friday afternoon little Piston, though, he is the one to watch this guy. He's a middle-aged guy, no face mask, no social distancing whatsoever. There's an issue on your till. You know, the little checkouts, self-checkouts are quite temperamental. If your bag placement isn't on point, as they say, you can't do anything. You have to get a self-checkout guy, supervisor over. And this guy regularly offers out customers, regardless of their size. Every single time I'm in there, he's on the brink of a fight. And even when the customer's left, he's still going on about it, still psyching himself up. And he's got the walk, he's got the strut, like a gunslinger. And yeah, this guy, I mean, you just got to be ready when you go in there just to stick up for yourself because they don't take any prisoners in there. Anyway, Tuesday morning is bins day in Lambeth, and I do my fair share of putting the bins out on a Monday. Lately, they've been getting overfilled when there is capacity to fill up the other bins, and, you know, my back's been playing up. Networking and back issues, two long-standing problems for me. I hadn't done the bins for a couple of weeks. I thought today it would be right to do them. You know, I like to, even though I could do them every week, there are plenty of other people living here who could help out the pensioners in this block. And So I put the bins out today on my way back from my run, bin my own rubbish and recycling pre-run, then did all the bins post-run. When I chucked my recycling out, there were about 20 empty cans of Carlsberg there or thereabouts in one bin, one recycling bin. So someone in the building looks like, assuming they're not sneaking in visitors, it looks like they're dealing with the stress of the lockdown in a particular way. And aside from the cans, I also noticed empty boxes of condoms. Now, I'm not associating the cans with the beer cans with the condoms. That could be two different households, but I'm just saying what I saw in there. And I saw that. I saw the discarded condom boxes. I know, being the kind of guy that I am, I know that if that was me behind those boxes, I would make a better job of getting rid of them. You've got three households in the building isolating on their own. There's my next door neighbor. There's the woman downstairs with the garden who I had the social distancing exchange with last Friday. And then there's me, you know, running around for one of the pensioners and old way before my time. If I was the couple, okay, if I was the couple behind the Durex discarding, I'd try and empathize with those I was aware of were on their own in the building. Not necessarily with the pensioners, because, you know, I'd be thinking, okay, they've had their time, you know. It's a bit like me. I never walk fast if I'm walking behind pensioners. Well, in the pre-COVID-19 era, I wouldn't overtake them because I didn't want to make them feel like their best years were way behind them. But sometimes I think, well, if I was the pensioner, how would they do it? You know, would they care in the way that I care about overtaking them, or would they just overtake me? Maybe I'm too soft. So I can feel my throat going. I'm going to drink a bit of cold coffee here. What a thing to forget, the water. Now, so I'm thinking these people behind the discarding of the very indiscreet discarding, let's say, of these condom boxes, maybe they should be thinking a bit more about that now. Not necessarily, as I say, about the pensioners isolating. They've had their time. My neighbour I know was quite naughty in their day. I know this for a fact. So while I would have great sympathy for the pensioners lacking companionship, at the same time, I'd qualify that by saying, okay, they had their time. There was none of this face mask, hand washing business when they were going round having that good time. But these neighbours behind the Durex box discarding, maybe I'm thinking they should spare a thought for me, you know. Maybe they should be thinking, this guy, he's on his own. Look at the state of his hair. By all means, let's put out the empty condom boxes in with the recycling, because that's where it belongs. But let's make a better job of tearing the boxes into little pieces. That's what I would do. That is what I do with my happy pills. Nothing goes out the same week. One empty box of pills is disposed of across an entire month. You never know who's rummaging through your rubbish. And I wouldn't say that's paranoia. A cousin of mine fell victim to that identity theft some years ago, just outside of London, because someone was rifling through their bins and they ended up having to change their name. Now, what I'm saying is, if that was me behind the condom box discarding, I'd be getting rid of that over a month. Why do I need the neighbours knowing I'm getting laid when some of them might be having a tough time isolating? I think more people should think like me, you know. I think people would feel better about themselves if they didn't have to, you know, when you're opening the recycling bin to put your rubbish out, you don't want to see that kind of stuff. Not right now. I mean, they're saying that the virus could be with us for years, the same months, years. I think it will be years. So if you're isolating alone, that could be the foreseeable. I'm assuming that sales of Kleenex, not specifically in this particular household, are probably going to rocket among those who are isolating alone. You know, the future on in terms of that side of things, it's not great, is it, really, if you think about it, if you break it down. Now, given that the show is running very long this week, I'm going to leave quite a bit of this stuff that I've got written down. I'm going to leave that for the patron side of things on the Thursday's episode. And the way the patron works is what happens tonight when I finish this show, I'm going to upload this show to the patron page. So if you're one of los quince who are keeping this show afloat for regular listeners, you'll be able to go to patreon.com/DRT available, and the show will be on there probably in the next hour or so, and you can download it and listen to it from beginning to end. And then regular listeners will get that patron show on Thursday morning. A quick thing on the blinds. I think I spoke last week, either on episode 232 or episode 233, the Patreon episode. I spoke about the blinds and the flat and how I was after more privacy and realized that I hadn't done myself any favors in the way that I'd had the blinds for the last couple of years. So I've got the slats facing down now rather than up. However, I'm trying to remember that during the day, you're advised to have the slats angled upwards to protect you from UV rays. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to adjust to that, trying to make sure I get into the habit of doing that. And let me just give you, before I leave you, it is time for this week's Nectar Points update. Here's another little item that I'll be bringing you on Thursday's patron show. An item pertaining to my aunt, going to have to leave that out. But what I won't leave out is the Nectar Points update, because it was another good week for me. Here are my receipts. I started on 408 points. Guilty this week of, while some people a few weeks ago, a couple of months back, were stockpiling loo roll and hand gel. Actually, I read something about M&S. They're selling some, it may be the same thing, normalcy, normality, retailing, selling. They've got £11.50 hand gel, I think, in their store. Quite rightly, they're being lambasted for that. They're going to keep it fixed at £11.50. Maybe some of that profit that they're making, they could put towards the team behind the Blue Harbour range of menswear. Perhaps they could put some of that money towards updating some of those horrendous, horrendous clothes. You know, here I am, isolated and alone, but there is no item of Blue Harbour clothing in this flat. So going back to the Nectar Points, I bought, because I saw my spicy chicken pizza in there, the budget pizza, £1.50. That is my favorite pizza for the calzone conversion on a Saturday night, sloth Saturday. I bought two of those, so I'm not wasting any more time there later this week looking for it. I had 408 points last week, so let me bring you my points this week. I topped up my crackers, Sainsbury's own crackers. That was 50p. I think I bought something for the loo. That is that's a pound. I bought a fancy yogurt for £1.20. I just bit my tongue there. Did you hear that? What was that? How will I replicate that sound? It was a kind of maybe you can here's another idea for a feature that will probably die. If you're listening back to this show, maybe you can try and imitate your own sound, record it on an MP3, send it through, and I'll stick it on the show next week. And wow, I really bit through my lip there. That hurt, I can tell you. I did my speech therapy exercises before the show, but obviously not to the extent that I needed to. The yogurts, I've gone for the Sainsbury's yogurts, not because I'm getting, you know, fancy with my my cravings, but simply because my low-fat Lidl yogurts are disappearing. People are going for them, the 45p yogurts, they're disappearing. I think the full-fat yogurts and Lidl's are 65p. Been also falling back on some backup 45p low-fat yogurts from Tesco is what I'm picking up. The Neighbours OK magazine. Got another coffee refill. I mean, I'm drinking so much coffee. So much coffee, he said, repeating himself like Donald Trump. Three single oranges, 84p. I bought a single loose baking potato, 22p. Oh, here it is. This is what I bought. And it was pricey, but it needed to happen because I've been having problems with the oven. I bought myself a new oven lighter, £3.30. The other one had lasted for about 6 years. And when I'm using it, I'm thinking, well, I'm touching this thing. You know, the person that I was living with, they would have been touching this as well. It's another ghost. It's another ghost. I've got to start making things my own. So I've got a brand new oven lighter, £3.30. Same color. It's a lighter blue. And I didn't use it until Saturday. And that was for the pizza, the calzone, and fired it up. And it lit up the oven smoothly. And maybe I can use that as a positive, another small step towards some kind of future. If we get past this this pandemic. Okay, so the total came to 1591. And I earned 15 points to take me up to 423 points. That's worth £2.11. Not sure what I'm going to do with my lip once I finish this. That is still feeling sore. And then I had to get the Neighbours Radio Times. Now, her text for the Radio Times, that usually comes through on a Tuesday around midday. Last week it came through a bit earlier, but I didn't get the Radio Times until Thursday. I spent most of last week in the flat. Bought the Radio Times, £3.30. That's worth 3 points. That took me up to 426 Nectar points. Those points are worth £2.13. What does that leave me? That leaves me 37 points behind the magical 250 points barrier. Of course, if you are a guy who's got store points, who does the store points thing, by all means, send them through DRT, available at westegg at 1607.co.uk, store points in the subject header, and let us know what you're buying, how you're scoring your points. Are you getting any vouchers or coupons, whatever they're called? I'm not now. And I wonder if that is simply because of the situation, because I can't recall the last time I went into Sainsbury's and, you know, earned these points and got some vouchers, coupons, he said again, forgetting. I've not had any coupons for a while. I'm completely clean out of Nectar Points deals. No offers at all. So that is it. That is the show this week. So Patreon supporters, lost getting there, as I said, keeping the show going. If you guys missed the start of this live episode, it's going to be available at patreon.com/DRT, available. Probably in the next 30 minutes, I would say. It's about 10:52 p.m. UK time. So it should be up on the Patreon site by about 11:30. And regular listeners, you'll get it from Thursday morning. Meanwhile, also on Thursday, Patreon supporters will get their weekly bonus Patreon episode with episode 235 going out. Now, if you want to join Los Quince, it is just $7 a month to unlock all the content, including bonus episodes and a studio version of the A to Z of me and my dad. And that is cheaper than the price of two UK coffees and around the same price, possibly, as a face mask that, just as I did for a couple of weeks until Minty Matt stepped in, you might have ended up wearing incorrectly. Anyway, so thank you guys for listening. I'm back next week on Ramble FM at 10 p.m. Do remember, if you've got any technical feedback to the show, what it sounds like at your end, please do send that to me and I can send it on to the guys at Ramble FM. It is time for you to get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz-Tyson, and this week I have been available. Stay safe.